I'm looking at the face of Bo.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at the RNA bottles.
Right.
And what is wrong with these people to think that, your label looks like the face of Bo?
No, no, they don't know it looks like the face of Bo. They think it looks like Baphomet, the devil.
Okay.
Ion just told us last night that the face of Bo is embedded in there.
Bob, I sent you a link in quick just now with a link to a picture that more closely resembles Bo as it is on the bottle. If you take the bottle and hold it vertically in front of you, then tilt the top to you about 15 to 20 degrees and look at the picture. It resembles that picture.
Yeah, you mean the guy in the background with the monk's hat on or something?
Correct. That's Bo in a get-up, and you look at the head covering, and it's like the sides of the image on the bottles.
Yeah, that's closer to the image on the bottle.
Interesting.
Are you seeing it? Are you seeing the image that Doug put in?
Okay. What you want to do is you want to watch the Lazarus Experience, the last of the Time Lords, the Pandorica opens, and then a good man goes to war.
Did you list several titles?
Yes.
How many did you list? It was all mixed up what you were saying.
Okay. The Lazarus Experiment is one. Last of the Time Lords is two. Pandorica Opens is three. A Good Man Goes to War is four. Watch them in that order.
And Bo is in all of them, and that's Doctor
Who. Well, Doctor Who, but Jack came from Bo Shang Peninsula. That's why they called him the face of Bo.
Bo Shang Peninsula.
Yes, that's where we're from.
Where is that?
Close.
Close?
Mm-hmm.
You're saying this peninsula is close. So is it part of the Gulf?
It's in the edge of it, yeah.
The edge of the Gulf is the peninsula of Bo. Bo Shang.
And they picked up on this in the show to show you about the difference between being ascended and being an immortal.
What are you?
Neither.
They were showing that immortals were limited on the show?
Yes.
Bob, can you spell that? Where did Ion say he's from?
Bo Shang. B-O-E-S-H-A-N-E.
And now,
okay.
Gail, you had some questions for Ion. Go.
You know, these dimensions that we experience. I was talking to Bob about my father. When his physical body gave out, I felt his essence about me. Do you know, is my father trying to reach me in a way that I am not able to experience? Or, I mean, how can I figure out if my people who have left the physical body, if they're trying to reach me?
Go see them.
Go see them.
Yeah.
So go see them in my mind, in my memory.
Ooh. When did this become a thinking man's game? Ooh.
I'm beginning to visualize, I'm experiencing other dimensions. I'm not remembering them. I'd like to remember the other dimensions.
Good. Not much on crossword puzzles, then, I guess.
No, I got to tell you, I don't even attempt crossword puzzles.
Good, that's what we're saying. Okay, so let's do it a different way, darling. If all your reality is based on a visual bias, let's work on your visual bias. Let's start out with where you are. Do you know where you are? If you know where you are, then do a check. Move to the next step. If you don't know where you are, we suggest that you consider where you are. Once you figure where you are, then you might be able to calculate where they are and where you are in a juxtaposed position regarding where they are. Apparently, their steps are not lining up with your steps, and you're bumping over each other's steps. It's why you don't like to cross over the path of a black cat. Because sometimes time warps will put you in the way. The reason that the cat ran away was for a reason. That path is one you don't want to be in a spooker world, as it were. Yes, your family loves you. Yes, they are eternal. Yes, they're with you. Yes, you feel them. Yes, they feel you. Yes, they know. Yes, you can follow the questing soul of Galileo, the king of night vision, the king of insight. Yes, 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 all that is. Now, slow down just a second. Back up. Put it into neutral. Or don't slam on the brakes and don't step on the gas. Do neither of those. You're sideways with yourself. So don't go running off now either direction. Just be still for a second. Now, once you figure where you are, then you relax. You got that. You don't care about your family. You don't care about this. And you don't need to talk to your daddy. You don't need anything except for bread. Dough, better said. Okay? So once you find out and know that you can have interaction with your dad, now it takes the heat out of the fire. Now all of a sudden he can send you an email. And he can tell you how he is. And because of our cloud, you can receive it. You already get gobbledygook stuff all the time, and you wonder, who's sending me this stuff? It's your damn relatives sending you stuff already on your email right now. And yet your spam trash file is overflowing with crap, and you toss it aside as though it were nothing. But many of those messages are in your inbox right now.
Okay.
Ta-da. You're welcome.
So you're directing me to review my spam.
No, we're not redirecting you to. We're telling you that's where they're communicating with you. But please yourself, dump it. They'll just keep writing. It's okay. Don't take an action about it. But when you do take an action, all of a sudden it's going to be there. And you're going to go, that crazy Ion, he's crazy. He put all that crap in my spam box. Spam, the other white meat.
Ion?
Yes.
Who's Legion?
Legion is referenced in the scriptures is many. It's a collection of uncomely spirits. It's uncomely spirits. What it is a residue from those departed past in the form of the soul, and the soul with unrealized creations. And the test, or the gamut of the man who was embraced by Legion, called them forth. And then it became a pulling and tearing of himself, because he forfeited himself outside of his physicalness. And that's why Jesus cast Legion, that spirit of many, into the swine, and they jumped off the cliff. If you had that problem, we would do the same for you.
When we drink of Jesus' blood during communion, are we drinking to forgive the little man not being God? Are we forgetting us as being God, not being God?
No. Slow down. Transubstantiation is what we kind of call it. Might be excommunication. We're not sure. We think it's too metaphorical. We think they ought to do real blood. That's what they did in Leviticus. They had blood offerings. They had sacrifices. We think if you're going to drink the blood of Christ, that you really should. You donate blood. So drink the real blood. It's full of protein. It's good for you. Then it would be closer. Because the reason that you do this do in remembrance of me. Take of my body. Take of my flesh. This is my blood. It was shed for you and for many. This do in remembrance of me. The remembrance is the putting back together of putting you back to God. This gets you back to the marriage supper of the Lamb. This gets you to the blood of the Lamb. This gets you on your throne in Revelation. This puts you with the 24 elders with the lampstands where your ascension is nigh and the marriage supper of the Lamb can ensue. Then Jesus, the one who 86th out of here, that one, comes back to collect his bride. That bride is an ascended God, just as Jesus is also God. So that little remembrance, as it were, is what allows you to know that ascension is sure. It reminds you.
When you talk about the little arms and long arms, are you talking about telomerase? And if so, the quarks and the gluons, is that dictated by the neutrinos that comes down?
Those don't interact at the cellular level. They're faster than that. We're talking about the rings and arms. The cross that you wear around your neck is a reminder of chromosome 14. It's the only chromosome that has the arms, one long and one short.
That has nothing to do with the RNA. It has nothing to do with the resequencing of the DNA and the telomerase.
Well, now you're not resequencing it. You're opening it. That's interesting. You're not resequencing it. Your DNA is your DNA. The RNA just gives new information to allow you to come back to God. That's the genealogy. They had to chat about it earlier about my mama and grandmama and great-grandmama, blah, 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 blah. We went all about the Begats and Kings and Chronicles. Because that gets you each step you are from God, they note. So now you can take your steps genealogy-wise back to God. Oh, and we like intinction better. If you're going to have a communion, we prefer intinction. It brings it back into the dipping of the bread into the cup. It's a much more connection, it's a better connection, the dipping. It won't be long till you'll be enjoying the real bread of life, and you'll have real living water. And we prefer that by intinction rather than the supping of it.
That's what they do when they run out of the drink. They do the tincture.
Intinction, yes. Look it up on the Wikipedia. You can learn all about it.
What Wikipedia?
Very wise one you are. Very wise one, yes. Very good, very good. Now, that ceremony, that service is beautiful, wonderful. And all it ain't worth a damn, except for it reminds you that you have the opportunity to come back to God. Jesus said, take me in. This is my blood. It's my body. And it really is. Because that body is the ascended one. See, but without those few little scriptures on the Emmaus Road, none of this would make any difference whatsoever. If he didn't ascend, you're screwed. Screwed.
Totally.
Glued and tattooed.
So we're not our own God without Jesus.
You are your own God, but you'll never get there without the ascension. You are God. You are God. Jesus said, you're created in his image. So you are. Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave. He went to hell. He opened up those that had gone on before. Gone on before is all the sequencing that you're speaking about. So we're not sequencing genes now, but we are unlocking that pool. The real good DNA was in hell.
How do we know that we are ascending?
This is great. That's a great question. It's wonderful. You'll never know that you are ascended using degree of separation questions. You'll never get there because those degree of separation questions always put you in another rabbit hole. So first thing you got to do is consider your asking. Is there a way that I can be sure that my ascension is occurring, taking place, or that I'm on the process? We'd say yes. You can note things. Those who are doing the steps that are required to ascend notice physical changes in their meat sack body. Are you interested in some of those telltale signs?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
The palms of your hand are getting thicker. Well, no. The palms of the hand are getting more strong. The skin's actually getting thinner. But it's coming much more. Like if you've got your knife and you're cutting something in the kitchen, used to you could do it at least a little nick and actually cut in your hand. Now you can sort of lay the blade in your hand pretty much and it really doesn't cut. Or if it cuts, you don't even bleed. Your dermis is much more supple, more rigid, the skin.
And what are some of the other signs?
Let's do you personally. That's a very generalized talk. What you'll notice is your fingernails, your cuticles will probably increase. And your nails may grow a little faster. A lot of folks find their nails grow extremely fast. And that's a problem because it turns your cuticles. See, they're attached and they have to pull loose. So then you get cuticles that peel back to the middle of your elbow. You know all about that, yes?
My fingernails are growing faster, yes.
Good. And your skin is more durable?
It's glowing more. Does that make sense?
It does. You have an aura about you. Now, have you had a CBC lately? Blood work? Have you had blood tests drawn lately?
No.
So you haven't been to see a phlebotomist of late?
I have not.
Have you ever seen a vial of your blood before?
My blood is very thick and very dark.
So you know what your blood looks like?
Yes.
You are taking RNA drops?
Yes.
The next time you go have your blood drawn, for whatever the reason, look at it. It will be different than it was.
Okay. Because my blood is changing, that means I'm thinning.
No, that means that your blood is changing, and that changing is a process of ascension. Okay, but now the RNA drops will give that information. But you have to interact with your non-physical, which you're doing that right now. And you go, wow, you don't even know how you did it, but you found a way to connect. And that's all. And it doesn't have to be us like this. It can be us anyway, but you're doing that. Then you find a way to overcome and stop and cease arguing for your limitations. That's beautiful, too. Now, you'll start noticing, do you wear mascara?
Yes, I do.
Do you find that you need less and less mascara to get the same long, luscious eyelashes?
Not in the past, but at the present, yes.
That's another telltale sign, because that's changing about you. The things that you would paint, the things that you would fight to make it look a certain way, you'll find it takes less and less war paint to achieve that same air of glamour.
Yes, I'm using, how should I say, less face makeup, because my skin
less foundation. That's exactly correct. That is also a telltale sign of ascension. Now, another huge thing is we can do a test. We can have your hypothalamus removed. Now, that's a little more than most people want to do, but we can prove ascension. Or if you got a really good acupuncturist with a 7-star needle in the back of the first, between the first and second dorsal, and drive it right into the base of the skull and do a little test, you can go at it that way. But we suggest you get a real good reference on your acupuncturist before you do that. But that slide, a gram-positive slide of your hypothalamus will prove ascension. You would be you'd be hypo-everything.
Okay, so dealing with the physical and the non-physical, I'm trying to not be so physical. Does that make sense? I'm not trying to care about the physicality of myself and the world around me.
But that's where the orgasms are. We want you to get on the physical. That's the bias. That's the bias that you're functioning, and then you engage in coitus, and then you reach orgasm, and that's delicious. You like that part, yes?
Yes.
That's physical. We like physical. We like you in the physical, because you don't have to be.
Well, here's my dilemma, Ion.
No, there's not a dilemma. Hold on. We'll help you. We'll help you. We'll help you. We'll promise. But we don't want you to talk yourself down the wrong side of the rabbit hole. Just hold up. You can have cranial intercoursing. That's called a mind fuck. That's a nice way to say it. That's a soft way to say it. Okay, because everything becomes a sensory perception. Use your physicalness for all the autonomic responses, like being amorous or being, quote, in the mood, or being hot or cold or wet or dry or sated or nervously uncomfortable. Okay? Use the autonomic reflexes of your physicalness and wrap yourself around the autonomic part. Don't think about it. The only problem with you and your physicalness is you're constantly thinking about it. Oh, what if I ate this? What if I don't eat this? What if I do this? What if I don't do this? I exercise. I didn't exercise enough. I didn't break a sweat. My heart rate's not good. I got to get my heart rate up. If I can do it this way, I don't know why this dress is never going to fit right again. I don't know how I'm going to do this. I'm going to... The next thing you know, you're online ordering your Spanx.
Oh, Ion, you are so right.
What we want to do is we want to soften that, darling. We want to soften that. We want to soften that part, because it's the mind that says the Spanx are going to help anyway. But that's not that. That doesn't have anything to do with it. If you get autonomics would say, I want a steak. I want a big old juicy protein laced steak. And I want 134 degrees. Nice. And I want all kinds of gravies and weird stuff, sauces of all kinds, Bernays or Beurre Blanc or some ridiculous 10,000 calorie thing to ladle over it voraciously. And we say, fine, don't not go with that. Go with it. Yeah, you say, I can't eat like that every day. I don't eat like that. I don't eat like that. We say, great, but that is the problem. There's the problem. Now you've created a bias that you something you don't do. You can get little Carolyn Dean in 100-pound soaked wet, and she can eat a 45-pound lamb chopped by herself.
I should probably talk to Carolyn about this on her show if I can ever make it to her radio show time.
Oh, bless your heart, Will.
Yeah, I know.
She used to do consultations, but now she's a fat cat doctor, so she don't do that no more. But she used to. You could schedule time. Her day was so leisureful. That she could just take time and just do consultations one at a time, and instead of mass communicating, one at a time on communicating. It's the most ridiculous thing we've ever considered in all our day, we might say. Because she used to do that. We ain't joking. She did. One-on-one. Just private.
But, so here's a question for you. I mean, you are the non-physical, at least that's what I think you are.
Not a thinking man's game. We either are or we ain't. If we are, we're still more physical than you'll ever be. And we are all non-physical. So we're enough. That's all that amounts to. We're enough. If it helps you come into your face of fire, honey, that's what we're all about. So work with it. Ask your questions. Use us to get you into your power. Because that's what we're here for.
When I hear you speak, when I hear your advice, I still feel that I'm getting the male version. I'm not getting the female version.
That's because you have the female version. You want the male version.
You think I do?
We don't think. See, here you go. You are made up of both. If we could develop the ignorant male part of you, that doesn't know why they scratch themselves or have bad smells or do bad things or slobs or eat things and let food drip on them and still lick you head to toe and think you're just the cat meow, and you let them lick you head to toe and think it's okay, cool, and it's the most yucky experience you could ever imagine in your whole life. But then in about 1 second, it's a real cool experience. The next thing you know, their tongue on the inside of your ear is just the cat's meow, as it were. If we could turn that part on you correctly, then the soft, subtle female side, well, actually, they're nothing soft. The female part is the one that'll cut your head off and spit down your throat. It's actually the real mothering side. It's the mama cat that will rip your head off when you go after the babies. Papa will just move on and get another wife.
All right.
So what we're going to do is operate within your own bias. You created bias. You have, not us. You have. So we give it that way. Now, we can get female honey. We can get right with it. There's no question. Go at it. Ask us a female-based question, and we'll answer it.
With the physical body, if you've gone through menopause, which I think I have, why do we constantly have to fight the physicalness of the middle being bras in the middle?
Honey, you're just, honey. Just because your womb isn't as voracious as it was, you're just low on magnesium. You're magnesium deficient.
I've been taking the recommended dosage morning and night.
Well, then that's wrong. That's wrong. You need more.
I need to take more?
Yes. You should be taking a teaspoon twice a day. 1 teaspoon, BID, of REMAG.
Isn't that the dropper size? I take 2 droppers in the morning.
Get you a teaspoon. Put it in a teaspoon.
And one part of me says, why do I even care?
Because in perimenopause, what you want to do is you want to balance the regulatory system that allows your body to function. You've just now gotten to the place where you can actually enjoy coitus, and now you want to rip the male parts off of them anymore.
Yes, she does.
Yes, we know. We know. Now she wants to get in touch with her. Get right, honey. Get right. Go at it. And see, the female side would say, come on, big boy, let's go. You want to go at this one? Let's go. Tear it up. Let's see what you got. You got it? Let's go. Now, guess what happens? Once you release that, then that hypothalamus, remember that part of ascension that we were talking about? It kicks in, and it actually gets your thyroid, which is a little bit off, too, by the way. You might better touch
it
up.
Yes, it is.
It is off a little bit, because then what happens is the highs are highs and the lows are too lows. Then you come back down and you try to get that to bounce, and then you start feeling sorry because you ripped something up or killed something or wanted to. Regret. Regret is what it's called. It's an emotion.
Well, it's regret, and it plunges you into depression, which is horrible.
Then you're not having enough coitus. When you get depressed, honey, make love. That's not a good
thanks
step.
A lot.
Well, it doesn't have to be with your present mate, honey. If he ain't in the motion of the ocean, hey, this is the female point of view. Go to the whorehouse and get deals.
Yes, you know, I'm agreeing.
So the point, then what happens is then the body will take over. Once the body takes over, you calm down all this bullshit. That's about what it amounts to. Then your family becomes normal and natural and loving and nurturing and caring because you're all cool and all that kind of stuff, and no one would mind sleeping with you, but that's the male counterpart, remember? So we can do it from the female standpoint of just that you don't question your beauty, you don't question your veracity, you question your tenacity.
Mm-hmm.
So we go over step that and allow you to be in your meat sack body. If you're in your meat sack body, that body is for you to enjoy. If it brings you pleasure, knock it out. And if your husband does not know how to knock the little man out of the boat, then you got the wrong husband. Get another one or borrow one. Lots of folks do. Or you could teach him. That's a woman thing. Show him how to do it. He doesn't know. He don't know nothing. He don't know nothing. He don't know nothing, honey. If you don't know that, I don't know how you made it this far. Show him what you want. He don't know nothing else, and then make it be his idea. How beautiful of you. And then all of a sudden, you find yourself ascending. Now, ascending allows your body to balance. You see, everybody turns around, and if you fight to drink one more sip of water a day, it's just absolutely more than we can stand. We got a little news flash for you, honey. One teaspoon of water is plenty enough for any human being for a week.
Wow, really? Even
enough.
In the high desert here of Colorado, huh?
Enough. Okay, splash yourself. Okay, do whatever you got to do, but your world is not revolving around water, for Pete's sake. Calm down on the water for you.
All right.
That's better than water.
Well, I do prefer Hendrix.
So then you can suffer from the lingering odor of gin and regret.
I have learned that the consequences of too much alcohol are not good.
Well, honey, you don't have to drink it all at one time. Drink it from a standpoint of your pleasure. See, it's about anything. It's about pleasure. I mean, if you ended up having a 24-hour orgasm after about a week of that, you'd even quit having orgasm. You'd stop. You'd say, oh, God, please, no.
Yeah.
It's contrast. You want to balance the contrast to get somewhere. And when you get there, then you're ready to start again. If you got into your man side, you'd understand the importance of an orgasm. They're fighting to give the orgasm the reach, and then they hold back, and then they wait, and then they wait, and then they wait. You've got to start thinking the way the men folks think will make you happier as a female, because you have those parts in you. And now through the perimenopause change or the shift that you're starting to ease into. Actually, your womb is closing, but they're closing for everybody because ascended folks don't have babies.
I've never had a baby.
That's okay. Do you want one? You can have one if you want one.
It's okay.
You certainly may. We can work. You can't believe, honey, we can tear up the bridge and build a bridge. Honey, just think what we can do for you. Now, Hira's are our specialty. He can open that womb in a minute. That is no problem. If you did want a baby, that's what we're trying to say. If you did. But now, if you don't, then yeah, that would probably not be the best of your joy. But you know what a real woman would say, though? You said get into our woman. A real woman say, "Oh, I'll have to talk to my husband." That's what a real.
No, I'm a little more. I'm much more independent than that. I don't need.
So
to
that's that. Why you're getting the man's ball busting ion. That's why.
Oh, thank you. Because
you don't want that. This is my body. God damn it! I'll run it like I want to. Okay, honey, let's go. I'm good. I'm with you. That's why you get ball busting ion.
I get it.
Good, good, good. We hope you enjoy it now that you've got it.
I'm assuming that you know a lot more about me than I know about you.
No, we know a lot more about you than you know about you.
How do you feel about journaling?
Well, it's more than a feeling.
Writing
it's,
down.
No, here you go. The problem with the writing is how do you know the one that wrote the reading right? If you're the journalist, from which bias are you writing? And then that becomes, then it has to set a mark against it. I mean, if you look at Marshall McLuhan, you'll find that the fool's errand.
Okay.
Throws. Okay. But if that's what you want to do, a lot of people do lots of things. And we support whatever they want to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting. I have several people in my life telling me that I should journal.
Well, first of all, who the fuck are they to be giving you words in your life? That is the first trouble. There's the first trouble. Then they should go do it. Why are they telling you what to do? If they were so damn busy on their ascension process, on their glory road, if they was traveling the glory road, they'd be so busy being so heavenly minded, they wouldn't be worried about what you're worth, earthly good. They wouldn't notice. They wouldn't notice. If they is busy pleasing and delighting themselves, they wouldn't notice what you should and should be doing. Now, if it's something that you want to do, that you engage, then wonderful. But you leave them and their opinions of what you're supposed to be doing to themselves. Honey, I think you should be a journalist. You're just wonderful. Just wonderful. You're just wonderful. You should just write things down. I just love when you write things down. When you write things down, it just makes me feel all oozy inside. I just can't stand living the thoughts of my life without reading something that you indeed have written today. And after a little bit, you go, ooh, why would I want to write for that person? They're the ones that are interested in your best interest in telling you what to do, right?
I would agree.
So if there's something interesting that you'd like to write, then write it. But don't do it because someone thinks it's a good idea. Because, honey, if you don't know what the fastest path to your joy is, why in the world would you trust them to make that judgment for you?
I feel I'm on the path to ascension, which is wonderful.
Good.
This physical world, I am still searching. I guess everyone searches. How can I pinpoint...
Follow the cloud. The cloud of glory is moving. Move with the cloud. When the cloud moves, move with it. This happened once to the children of Israel. They were ascending. They left. They got delivered. They survived the Exodus. Some of them drank molten gold and survived Baal, you know, when Moses came down from the mount with the top 10 suggestions of how to do it. We got them right for you. But anyway, he came down and he wanted to know who's on the Lord's side. And they started on their 3-day journey on a 3-hour tour, you know, and the ship set sail.
Gilligan, yeah, I get it.
Yeah, with the whole Gilligan's Island. Well, now, those children of Israel, they roamed the desert for 40 years, roaming around, searching every day. And their only way they made it, the only way, everyone that they say died in the desert, okay? But they followed the cloud. They followed the cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. moved. When the cloud moved, so did they. It took them 40 years, but they survived. When you're searching and you don't know where you are and you don't know where you're going and you don't know what to do, you don't know when to have an orgasm, you don't know how to love your husband, you don't know how to cook food, and you don't know how to eat right, you don't know how to live right, you don't know how to drive right, you don't know how to what's this, and you question every aspect of everything you ever rubbed on your body or off your body or in your body your own, and does this downy soft sheet work better than this soft sheet, and no, we've tried this one more than that. Everybody's in that perilous wonders of searching. The only thing you can do is move with the cloud until you get past and get across to the River Jordan and go into the land of Canaan. There's giants over there, but you don't care, honey. You don't whoop the lion and a bear. You get you a little shoe bread, you get you some living water, you cross that River Jordan, darling, you'll be just fine. Then you won't have to follow the cloud anymore, and you'll know ascension is sure.
My nickname is Groovin' Gale. I just go with the grooves.
And we're trying to get you out of the rut. You've gone with the groove till it has become a superfluous rut. Mm-hmm. We're trying to bring you out of the rut. And when you come out of the rut, then you won't have to wonder if you're in the groove.
Okay, thanks a lot, Gale.
Thank you.
You're welcome, honey.
On dupes, they were going on about H197 this, H197, and I said, everybody, please stop saying it's H197 this, H197 that. The appropriate nomenclature is stabilize H197, super sugar this or that. So MSU1977 says, Bob, at which stage does H197 become stabilized H197?
It becomes stable when it's in the presence of insulinose.
And what is that?
Super sugar. Super sugar stabilizes H197. It even contains it in that half-life of a radioisotope H197 in a bound like lead that's radioactive. Wrapped in lead that's not, will stabilize it. So super sugar will stabilize H197 if it's a radioisotope.
Isn't super sugar made up of stabilized H197?
It is.
So you're saying if stabilized H197 stabilizes itself?
Super sugar will stabilize it, yes. The carbon stopped the half-life effect, the carbon. The C-122 stabilizes. You get the little Cheerios, heart healthy, be healthy, if you configure those electrons just right.
So there's already been H197 stabilized, and then unstabilized H197 encounters stabilized H197 or insulinose,
purple.
And then it's stabilized.
Purple
is putting out unstable H197.
No, it's just straight H197. It's putting
an isotope. It's an isotope. So then the RNA drops encounter the H197 isotope and stabilize it.
Yeah.
The drops have H197 in them that is stabilized.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The original first time H197 isotope got stabilized, where did that come from?
The eye block.
The eye block, which is the eye cell.
Yes.
So the eye cell triggered off, which is not the super sugar. The eye cell was the first thing to stabilize H197.
Yes. Yeah. You got proof of that in your slide. You have your little slide. You have them.
Right.
Well, now here's how good this is getting. In some of the renew, not all, but in some of the renew, you can work through it. Now, we suggest they go make little daubers and dribblers and dibblers and things. And bless y'all's heart. That's wonderful. But get that on your finger and rub it on your body. Sometimes you can get a tiny little eye block in that renew right now for your very own.
An eye block, like the grittiness. Sometimes there's a little bit of a...
That's Dr. Dean Whitestone. But don't tell anybody, for God's sake.
So Inchel knows the C-122, H-197-098. MSU 1977 says, at which stage does H-197 become stabilized H-197? We've answered that. Right at the nuclear plants that are in meltdown, or when it comes in contact with the I-block?
When it comes in contact with the I-block. And then we want it radial as long as it can be. That suits us. Suits
What's us. Radial?
Radial means it has a half-life.
So you're saying the isotope H-197 is radioactive, and what are you answering? What's the question? I didn't even know what the question was there. You just suddenly started tumble purple. How does it get in touch with the I-block?
The I-block comes in touch with it.
The I-block is in the factory, and it's radiating throughout the planet.
Just like the radiation, it's permeating. Those rods and cones in purple are racing to the center of the Earth right this minute.
The rods and cones, the H-197 isotopes go in the center of the Earth, and they will meet the I-block emanations at the center of the Earth.
No. No, we hope it'll blow it up or something.
Where does it meet the I-block?
If you hadn't let to pull the plug, we'd say in your bathtub with $100,000 worth of Renew, but you pulled the plug, so probably, I guess, in the system.
So the I-block is not radiating throughout the planet?
No, it is not. Yeah.
Is it beginning to? Is it adding up its presence around the planet?
No, we don't want it to. We want enough radiation to force ascension. You come into this world as God, and you're going to leave here as God, one way or the other.
So the I-block is where it is, and the H-197 isotopes meet the I-block. They find it.
Radiation, hydrogen is increasing, and oxygen is decreasing. Ask anybody. You don't even have to believe us.
Yeah. So it's doing that, and it's finding the I-block.
No, it's not yet. But it's going to.
Well, how come it's being stabilized then?
So you have a chance to survive the increased radiation.
No, how come?
Well,
how is the H-197 isotope being stabilized if it hasn't reached the I-block yet?
It's not yet.
It's not being stabilized.
Right. It's not being stabilized yet. Some is, but not much.
If we're talking about stabilized H-27, it's all stabilized, and it hasn't even happened yet.
You're doing it little by little, Bob.
Oh, okay, so a little bit of the H-197 is stabilized.
Yeah. See, Sheila said, I want to ascend. Sheila said, I want to ascend. And I want to ascend before all those other motherfuckers. We said, okay, honey, ain't no trouble to us. So we went this way. We could have just started with shoe bread, but it's been too much for you. Generation, line upon line.
What did you say you could have started with?
We could have started with shoe bread.
Too much, right.
Jesus tried living water with the Samaritan woman, and she said,
I don't know what you're saying. You're all burbled, and be careful what you're saying. We can't make out half of it.
The Samaritan woman at the well?
What about her?
That's what I understand.
Why did you mention the Samaritan at the well?
She was found in adultery. She wasn't even supposed to be talking with an ancient Samaritan Hebrew Lord like Jesus. And Jesus says, honey, you a whore's whore, and I might get busy with you, and I might not. But I'm going, if you give me your dipper and get me some of that water, I'll give you living water, and you'll never thirst again, ever.
That's what it's going to be like?
Can be. They have to agree to sleep with you first, though, Bob, for sure.
Is the H-197 in C-122, H-197-098 already stabilized?
Yes.
How do you get stabilized if nothing's been stabilized?
The carbons stabilize it.
Because there's so many carbons. Okay, enough of this endless questioning on that topic. We're going to go to another topic here. Sarah posted some interesting information. Reverend Stang said on May 3rd.
Not Reverend Stang. No, not Reverend Stang. The Church of the Subgenius. Oh, this must be important then. Yes.
He says, I wish I could write Ion and thank him for fixing the station lines, but Ion doesn't actually exist. Did you fix the station line that he has a show on that you claim to be messing with?
No.
Did the lines get fixed?
No.
Would you like to fix it?
No.
You're not going to?
No reason to.
Well, what's interesting, Sarah, is old Stang's monitoring us, checking it out, or someone's doing it for him, and he knows what we're saying. Right, Sarah?
Right, and he...
That living God who walks this planet Earth in huckster shoes, yeah. praise him.
Bob, you're such a dream maker. He wished he could tell Ion, and you passed it along. So wonderful,
right.
Thing he did.
He just spewed that out on May 3rd. That means he knows we're claiming that Ion fuck with the station lines. There's
right.
No indication of where he got that from, that information. Now, Sarah, this picture of you is disgusting. Why have a little girl crying as your image? What's the point?
Well, my pony got stolen.
Your puppy got stolen pony.
My pony.
Yeah. Why have that picture of yourself?
It's not me.
I know, but why are you presenting it? It's representing you under your name.
I just thought it was kind of funny.
It's like someone's getting beaten up. Now, Ion, address Keith and Sarah. What the hell's going on? Keith is punching her, apparently. What drama?
Is there anything that I'm unaware of?
There are many things you're not aware of.
Okay, is there one thing that we could start with that I need to know?
Yeah. What you need to know is you need to figure out what happy is. And if you know what happy is, then do that. And if you don't know what happy is, do things until you find something that's a bit more pleasurable than the last thing.
That would make sense.
Well, don't make sense that it makes happy.
I don't even think I've ever dared to wish for happiness. It's always just been, can I be comfortable and safe?
Oh, yeah, I know. And that's very female. But get over that, because that doesn't work. That comfortable and safe is never comfortable long. It's always vulnerable, because it has to be safe. You want it, so you have it. If you were safe, you wouldn't ask for it. If you have plenty of money, you don't want money. You don't want, oh, I don't want money. I got money. The last thing I want is money. So now what you're saying is that I'm not secure. And I'm not comfortable. That's what you're saying. Therefore, he has no choice but to respond in a way that would be what we might consider inappropriate, because that's the only thing that can sustain your lack of stability. See? It's not him, it's you.
Mm-hmm. No, I get that.
Well, no, but if you change you, then... Oh, but see, here's the thing. He still can't stand it because he can't stand it because he can't without you. And you make it so he can't stand.
He can't put up with Sarah? Is that what you just said?
No. He can't stand that he can't live without her. And she makes it so he doesn't want to live with her. But he can't live without her. Sort of a vicious thing, isn't it? See,
yeah.
Because that's the only thing that can make sure that you're secure. Because if you'll love me and be with me when I'm like this, I got it. I'm secure. But you can't do that because you won't allow it.
Right. I see that my behavior over the past several months has been very much about testing boundaries and limits.
Testing boundaries, is that female speak for being a bitch?
Maybe, but I feel like it's more of an infantile, immature way to approach life, such as a baby.
Well, now, we don't mind that. We can work with this. Here you go. Bad attention is still attention. You see?
Right.
If you're looking for a nest, you want a nest. Sometimes a rough nest is still a nest. Or, jokingly said, painful intercourse is better than none at all. And we agree with that. Until it's really painful, then it's no fun at all. So it doesn't last because you can't sustain it. Because then what happens is the psyche in your mind says that's normal. And then once that begins to be normal, then it takes that to get you there. You don't want that. You want this smooth, easy American pie scenario where it's easy. Good contrast, good love, good God, let's go. If you really wanted to get down to this, find out what he wants. If you spend all your energy pleasing and delighting him, you'll get secure, real secure. And you have question with that because you don't know if that's true or not. But until you come to that place, you'll never know if it is or not.
I'm just a little confused because I was throwing myself into becoming detached from this.
And you can be. Honey, take a double barrel butcher knife and cut him up with little bitty pieces. Okay with us. We don't mind. Matter of fact, we'll do it for you if you'd like. It's not a problem. It's okay. And they don't make Cuisinarts for nothing, honey. It's okay. Yeah. Okay. There you go. The Dixie Chick said it best. Sometimes Earl just has to die. Yeah, well, hey, don't threaten us with a good time. The point is you don't have to be in that. But that still doesn't solve your issue. Your issue is safe. It's really safe, comfortable.
Right, and that kind of goes back to the, if you have a cold and you're talking about your cold, you're going to want more cold, kind of. Like, I am hyper-focused on attaining something that I don't even know what it would be if I attained it.
Then let's get you back to physical. I want to be with someone that I love to be with. Let's start right there. And if he's not that, then get shit out of it. Once you get all those down, then you can craft and develop a relationship in which you can then secure your own position. Get your own account, put your own money in it, blah, 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 whatever the hell all that ever ridiculous wordy words mean anyway. But those stages that make you feel like you're okay, if it all went terribly wrong, that you could survive one more day on this luscious ball of wax, for just one more minute before Miami goes completely underwater because you're melting the polar ice caps with your damn hydrogen. It's just amazing. So if once you get there, then you can start loving. And when you start loving, then you become fun. And when you become fun, then you'll have a mate. And when you have a mate, then you'll be secure. And they'll love and want to be with you. And when they love and want to be with you, it makes a stable engagement. Boys aren't stable. They're horny. And once you get to a position where that works for you, then guess what? They'll show up every single day, and they'll bring you the money checks, and they'll make sure you're happy. But it won't make any difference because you can make your own money checks. The stability that you're looking for a, quote, man to provide you, you can do for yourself, and then you can just sleep with the poo boy. Right?
Right. Okay.
Well, now, wait a second. No, that's not what we're talking about. See, now all of a sudden, it's like we've turned your lovemaking into something vile and dirty, and it's not. That's the point. That's why it's not secure. It's because you make it as though it's something less than. It's not. That's the point, and it'll make you secure. But if you feel bad that you had pleasure, then guess what? Nope, it's not going to work. You've got to change your shift.
I don't understand how people don't. Oh, like, it's so overwhelming to me that Jesus made this sacrifice, that all these things. And
Jesus made a sacrifice. Shit, he's ascended. Yeah, he was a kind of a sacrifice. He left your damn ass right here. He ascended. He sure did. Praise him.
Right. If I didn't have that example, I still feel like, why me?
Why me is exactly right. That's why we don't use degree of separations, because it's a rabbit hole you can't get out of. You turn it back around. Okay, let's solve this. You got a bias. You don't like it. You need to change it. Change your bias. Get something that feels better than where you are. And if you want to be with him, be with him. If you don't want to be with him, don't be with him. It doesn't make any difference to us. But until you solve this dilemma with you and get into your physical side of enjoying pleasure, you'll never be able to wrangle some other human creator into a position or a chokehold hard enough, deep enough, or threatening enough to maintain your long-term sanctioned, secure, and comfortable position. can't do it. Honey, you marry you up a dead man with a lot of money, and it won't be enough. Because if you ever make it be one time ever, make it be about the money may not be enough. Now we're talking about being secure. Are you not comfortable in the skin you're in? We can change it if you would like a new skin.
I don't even think I've tried it out yet. I don't.
Okay, we agree. We agree. That's why we said it. A little of it is a little shock and awe, but really it's not. It's get happy. Forget this bullshit. I want this pie in the sky crap. Forget it. Get happy. Find something that makes you happy. We don't care what it is. Number two, lead pencils work for us. But get something that you can embrace that's pleasurable and then expound upon that. If you've got to have a lover, you don't. But if you have to have a lover, you can have a lover that'll help and make that more pleasurable and can provide creature comfort. But your comfort and security is just having engagement from a vengeful position of, well, I slept with you and you didn't provide me with what I needed, is always going to end in tears.
Yeah, it always has. Yes.
So soften that up a little bit. Turn it around. Think like a fella does. We're doing this role reversal a lot tonight. Be the one that just wants to screw. Just want to make love. Just want to, and that's what I want from you. Now get out. Honey, you'll have them lay around the doorstep. They won't never leave. They'll be sending you flyers and roses and money checks and bringing you cars and planes and trains and automobiles and new cement ponds and all kinds of stuff. Be that person. Because then it's about, I'm just having fun. See, it was working out perfectly, perfectly, perfectly for Norma Jean. It was working perfectly for Norma Jean. Perfect. Perfect for her. Until she made it be about the security. And once she made it be about the security, she couldn't have the president, and then she had to go. Bomb a nose. Like last call to bar, you don't got to go home, but you can't stay here.
Bert, do you have a question for Ion?
Ion, are tachyons neutrinos? Is there a relationship?
No. There's a relationship, but they're not.
From what I'm learning, neutrinos represent something that's beyond what we know as far as elements, that's part of the element, that supposedly moves faster than the speed of light, whatever that is. Is there a similar relationship? Because they claim, they describe the same thing with tachyons, that tachyons supposedly move faster than the speed of light. Can you outline the difference?
First of all, a neutrino is an electrical neutral, weakly interacting elementary subatomic particle with a half integer spin.
Is a tachyon a positive? You just said that the neutrino is an electron neutral. So a tachyon, is that a positive, or is there something within the tachyon that makes it different from the neutrino?
All a tachyon is a hypothetical subatomic particle that always travels faster than the speed of light. If you're going with the laws of relativity, which are wrong, you can't have anything going faster than the speed of light. But this does. But this is not charged. A neutrino is a balanced neutral.
Neutrino is charged and tachyons are not.
It's neutral. Neutral. Neutrino is neutral.
And tachyons are charged.
No, they're neither. They're always faster than the speed of light.
Neutrinos are not charged. They're neutral. Tachyons are not charged.
They're just a particle. They can be charged or non-charged.
Is a neutrino a particle?
Yes.
Neutrino and tachyons are the same thing so far.
No. A neutrino is always neutral. A tachyon can be positive or neutral, but it's a speed. It's like saying carpet and airplane. Can you put the airplane on the carpet? Yes. Is the airplane the carpet? No. Can you fly the carpet? Yes, if it's on the airplane. And it can be a tachyon if the airplane is moving faster than the speed of light. So can a neutrino go faster than the speed of light? Yes, but that doesn't make it a tachyon. But it can be on something that is a tachyon that does.
The neutrino can be on the tachyon.
On the airplane that's going faster than the speed of light.
The neutrino is always ascended and detached, neutral. Tachyon's more emotional and more little man.
That's a bit of Hendiades for you there, but yeah.
I just started delving into neutrinos and protons and neutrons. The more that I dig deeper, it just seems like the relativity folks or whoever, it's just labeling, whereas what you're describing is something. It's just
we're talking about that's what we're saying. The cloud is filled with science, and all science is saying that everything that is not. But everything they can't prove that's not is. That's all science can do. It can't prove anything. It doesn't prove anything. Science makes the laws of relativity. Now they're suggestions. It's the suggestion of relativity because it's just bullshit. It ain't real. Newtonians are killing themselves as we speak. Poor old Hawking in his little wheelchair as he is trying to calculate why his life work is now being nullified because it is inappropriate because now he has found me. My machine has found a particle that goes faster than the string theory, so I don't know what I shall write about now because everything I've said so far has now been jeopardized by the new findings that I have found because I based my laws on the laws that were set up and predicated on my existence and experience for so far. So therefore, now I have no choice but to continue speaking in my little box to make sure that the words are thoroughly gone through and gone through again and again and again and again and again and again and again so then I can decide whether or not my string theory will hold a string of thread.
Does Stephen Hawking listen to Payday?
Yes.
A couple weeks ago, you told me that once the atmosphere changes, the Earth will become more of a stabilizer than a ground.
That already is. The extended poles, that's why they're melting away.
Poles are what? Are extended?
Yeah, they're extended. The click has occurred. The click has occurred.
And what happened?
The polar caps are melting.
Because something got extended?
The north and south got us further away.
They just didn't flip, didn't take change sides.
They just extended further out. Yeah.
From each other.
Yes.
Does science label?
They mislabel. Science mislabels.
You don't got any problem with labeling?
No, we have no problem with labeling.
Do you recommend it for humans to label things?
Nope. Because sure as you label it, then you go back in your future or your past or your future from your past and change it. It's like your goddamn history. It ain't worth shit. You make it up and then you unwrite it.
Right.
So labels
so the,
are the same way.
So the
labels. You spend your life to make these labels, and you spend the rest
fine,
of your life
fine,
proving
fine. Hey, fucking fine. You got? You remember? You fucking stop when
that
I say
was the
fine.
Old school. That was old school. We can't regurgitate, so you don't control fine anymore.
Fuck you. We do. Well, I'll talk to you later, but right now you better fucking. What were we just saying? Instead of whether they label or not, it's the disproving thing is the main grievance.
These are the same things that cause a relationship. This is a key. If you go back and lay this out like your lampstands or the vile judgments, if you lay this out next to each other parallel, this deals with relationships.
What deals with it? Are you talking about the act of just saying something is not?
Labels. Labels. You said labels. You're asking about labels.
I'm moving out of that topic.
I know, but everything goes right back to it. Relationships, being stable, being safe, being happy.
It goes back to labeling? So you're not relating the labeling activity to it.
Well, we were trying to, but what happens is
you're a little
Well, it's okay.
No, look, are you saying that relationships are based on labeling?
Yes, relationships are like science.
Bill, would you come in, Bill, and state your objection to the that ION says that they're involved with saying that science is always disproving? What is your argument to that, Bill? I think Bill says it's the opposite. ION's science always proving stuff.
They don't.
I don't understand. They disprove.
They can't even prove that red wine helps you or kills you, and they stated both emphatically.
So they disprove.
They only disprove. They haven't proved a thing. They couldn't even prove the earth was round. They just couldn't prove that you couldn't fall off of it. The scientists said you fell off the edge of the earth. And when you couldn't fall off the edge of the earth, they capitulated and said, okay, it's oval.
Ion says they're proving it's not. Do you understand that, Cal, this notness that Ion says science does?
The null hypothesis.
Okay. The FDA does tests.
No, they don't.
Drugs.
No, they don't.
They don't, Bob.
No,
they
do they
not.
Don't.
What do? They
read the fake tests that the drug companies send them about their results.
And they don't prove or disprove. They just send in results.
Right.
They just say this did this. 12% got affected.
Yeah, and, you know, there was a 4%
improvement. So there's no notness going on there. When Ion says science is just out to prove something's not, they're not involved with notness.
What is notness?
When I am saying that science is involved with showing things are not.
Yeah, that's the basis of the null hypothesis. Just look up the definition.
No, you explain it. In simple terms.
Let me look it up and just read it.
No, it'll be all garbled. Just give me the logic of what are they saying.
The logic has to start with the definition. You know the rule.
No. See, you just say the process as if it was yours. What are you nullifying? Anyways, I was talking to Bill the other night, and he thought it was convoluted, this not thing that Ion says, proving things are not. They proved there was gravity, didn't they, Ion?
Nope, they couldn't prove there wasn't gravity.
Listen to this about null hypothesis, just on Wiki. Everything's on Wiki, including Ion. In statistical inference of observed data of a scientific experiment, the null hypothesis refers to a general statement or default position that there is no relationship between two measured phenomena or that a potential medical treatment has no effect.
So I don't know what that means.
Well, they go for the no point. No relationship or no effect is what they're trying to prove.
How do they do that?
By comparing two things and measuring them and say, oh, look, the numbers are the same, so there's no difference, no effect, no whatever.
So the null hypothesis says there's no relationship. That's
right. And then if they disprove the null hypothesis...
That means there is a relationship.
Right. That's all.
So what has been proven, Carolyn?
Nothing really. I agree, because... science doesn't like to come to conclusions.
Yeah, well, I want to hear Bill.
He's not coming on. Get over it, Bob.
What's wrong? Fuck
me.
Get over it,
Bill.
Bob.
Bill, state your objection, you fucking coward. You state your fucking objection, and then let's see what kind of ridiculous words Ion says in response.
I'd bet on that, yeah. Okay, the point is that science does not try to prove anything. You're using semantic arguments to convolute a non-semantic discipline, okay? The point is, if you do an experiment and it works the way you expect, you chalk up one. Good. If you do it 10,000 times and it works all 10,000 times, you got 10,000 good, and so far no bad. You do it bad once and it comes out bad, or you got 10,000, it worked. When it didn't, well, there's something wrong with it. Now, the whole thing about, I said about relativity, is you can say, like Ion just did, relativity does not work. Everybody out there, when you get in your car tomorrow, don't turn on your fucking GPS, because Ion told you tonight it doesn't work. Every GPS satellite and receiver performs relativistic equations to tell you to turn right on 59th Avenue or whatever. Okay? It works a lot. It doesn't work every time. As I told you, Bob, privately, every physicist in the world, especially if you catch him drunk in the bar, is going to say, relativity works a lot, but it's really all fucked up. but it works for what it's used for. Just like Newton's equations work great for calculating artillery shells and rockets and stuff like that.
For playing horseshoes and hand grenades, it works every time.
Exactly. And relativity works really good for running GPS units and calculating some other more esoteric shit than, you know, where the nearest drugstore is off Google Maps, but whatever. And then quantum theory works in a few other places, but none of them work all the time.
So, Ayam, you're talking on another level. You're talking about ultimate statements and whether they are forever.
Yeah.
How do you respond to Bill pointing out that the relativity works are good enough for the GPS? You got any problem with that?
It does not. If the GPS is not scientific, it triangulates. It does mathematical symbols, and it measures from pole to pole from a triangulated position and measures those distances, telling precisely where it is. That's not scientific. That's just a measurement.
Not exactly.
It is exactly. That's how a GPS works.
Yes, but it also takes into account the velocity of the satellite in its orbit.
No,
the multiple satellites in there. Yes, it does.
No,
look it up.
No.
Look it up, Ion.
The base triangulation, if you're moving and it's calculating where you're going to go and how long it's going to take you to get there, that's a computer application of just math. That's not scientific.
Oh, if you're talking about pure triangulation, absolutely correct. But the point is, you're dealing with satellites moving at somewhere around 6,000 miles an hour, and the rotation of the Earth, and et cetera, et cetera. And in order to perform positional calculations, a GPS receiver uses relativistic calculations to make that work out.
But that's based on where the towers that it pings from to set you up.
GPS has no towers. They do have a thing called differential GPS, which is used for things like millimeter accuracy and drilling, and we used to use it in the crop dusting business, as a matter of fact, to get 2 and 3 foot.
Precise.
Yeah, but that was primarily because the military...
Epicenters. It's how they calculate epicenters.
Sure, yeah. But the point still is that there are relativistic equations being used by GPS satellites and a whole hell of a lot of other different things in our technological hellhole we've got ourselves into. But is relativity the final answer? Hell no. And I agree, if you're talking absolutes, which is beyond my pay grade, fine, I agree absolutely that relativity is shit, but so is Newtonian dynamics. It works fine for calculating, the snipers in Afghanistan use it all the damn time, whether they know it or not. But fails at very high speeds. Yeah, that is the point.
Okay, so what we were giving an example of how science does not prove anything, it disproves anything. And here's an example. You can have a statement like, hyperactivity is unrelated to eating sugar. That'd be an example of no hypothesis.
Correct.
Okay. If the hypothesis is tested and found to be false using statistics, then a connection between hyperactivity and sugar ingestion may be indicated. Now, science just said that it does have an effect, but it may not at all have an effect on you. So now science is two favored by half, and then the next thing you know, we say your GPS isn't going to work tomorrow, and guess what? You human creators, you can actually make that so. More than science can prove what didn't happen. Science never is able to prove what didn't happen, and they can't validate what did happen. They have to then study it and then say, well, this happened this way and this happened this way. And this is a charge, and science says that this charge is doing this and that, this and that, this and that. And then something else changes that again. There's no standard. So science just has no practical good.
You said practical good, and that's the point, as opposed to an absolute. Science, going back to who the hell was it threw the rocks off of the Leaning Tower of Pisa, David Letterman threw a watermelon off the NBC building. Every time anybody drops anything, it falls. And the only time that's failed is, the astronauts or, I don't know, you know, nobody's ever reported it that I've heard that it failed on the surface of the Earth.
Sorry, so, we threw a helium balloon off and it didn't fall to the Earth.
Okay, sure, it floated. Why don't ships fall to the bottom of the ocean? Because they float, because they displace more water than their weight. Helium balloon displaces more air than its weight.
That's right, but science didn't prove that. All science noted was that when you make a statement that everything you throw off the leaning tower of Pisa hits the ground, it's not true. So now science says, okay, most of the time it's true. Okay, so tell me again, that science now is just making recommendations of which thing on the menu I might enjoy, but it has no clue of at all what I might like. If I'm using them as the example of my science, of what I'm supposed to live, engage my life by, then all of a sudden, they don't work. It doesn't work at all. And if it doesn't work ever, it doesn't work at all, because there's too much at risk to have science say, this is okay, this is not. They let things go until they're not. They make something, and then the humans get a hold of it and change that around, too. What science needs is a God. If science had a God, then there wouldn't be any problem, because the God could uphold and sustain the position. Flux. They change flux. So now everything that is known, even history, won't hold anymore, because those that don't know history are doomed to repeat it. You keep repeating it because you know it and keep changing it.
Yeah, well, most people don't know history anyway, and that's, you know, one of the oldest.
Well, that's really easy.
But history is not a science. History is a human...
That's what science uses to capitulate. Well, but that's what science uses to capitulate its position of the historical moments of what occurred. It's how to say this is. And then they show you in history back how when we did this, this happened. And we measured it was 32 feet per second per second.
My point is that science never says they can prove anything. A lot of scientists say that. But a lot of scientists say a lot of stupid shit. Scientists are fucked up humans.
And we agree. And so we say, why are we engaging science? Science doesn't serve you or help you. If you need to have someone say, this won't work, this won't happen, this won't help you, this can't be, then get a scientist. Science doesn't do its work to prove that something is. It only can prove what is not. That's all we're saying. The only way science succeeds is that they have to prove something is not.
My point is, it doesn't attempt to absolute prove anything. In fact, one of the basic paradigms of that they teach you in, there is no such thing, but quote-unquote science 1A, is that you never prove anything absolutely. You can drop a million bowling balls off of the NBC or watermelons or whatever off the NBC building in New York, and a million of them will hit the ground that has no bearing on whether the 1,000,001 will fall and hit the ground and splat. And that's the point. The only point is to say that that experiment is done so many billions of times that you get a pretty good bet that if you throw a watermelon off a skyscraper, it's going to fall and hit the ground.
That's just probability.
That's the point. But probabilities are extremely useful. They can be extremely useful. How much money is accumulated in Las Vegas from, a 0.5% house advantage and the craps table in Las Vegas? They can be extremely useful. But by the same token, I remember sitting...
That's not science.
Well, statistics and probability are the heart of science because it's just an attempt to show what is likely to happen. Another example, Carolyn went on one of her shows a few months ago lamenting the fact that they say that this drug gives like a 10% cure rate or whatever, whereas a placebo will give a 40%. And I agree with that absolutely. And her point is that 40% from taking a sugar pill that you think is going to do something as opposed to 10% when you take the actual medicine, It sounds to me like the medicine is doing more damn harm than good if a sugar pill will give you a 30% greater chance of survival.
So, Ian, are you saying if we came up with new ideas, different principles, or no principles, we could make a better GPS?
Yes.
No, sure.
The only reason you have a GPS now is because science has not yet completely proved that it's impossible.
I don't know if it does that. It works. Is anybody interrupting the GPS manufacturers based on whether science agreed with it or not, Bill? No, they just make it.
But they're not making it because science said it was the thing to do. The only reason they're making it is because they created it, not because they asked science and science said,
okay.
No, science didn't have anything to do with that.
Relax. Your issue is people who speculate, Ion. You don't agree with speculators. You like creators. Mm-hmm. And you're not putting the word science on the creators.
Science doesn't create.
Sure did. Get back to the GPS. Newton figured out the laws of gravity. Kepler figured out
Newton
the laws of orbital dynamics.
Science has just recently proved that Newtonian law does not apply.
Well, they proved that a very long time ago. But the point is that they apply well enough to orbit the satellites. You know, a scientist by the name of Maxwell figured out the electromagnetic equations that makes radios work. Scientists come up with all kinds of theoretical ideas, and then some engineers sit around and say, oh, shit, that's cool. I can make satellites, and I can make radios, and I can make computers, and I can make all kinds of neat shit. I agree with Ion. If you're dealing in the realm of the absolute and dealing in the realm of language, science is a mathematical, statistical, probability-based thing. I agree with Ion that science needs a god. I will go one step further, and I say the whole fucking world, if not the whole universe, needs a god. I just objected to, basically, Ion is preaching to non-scientific people, and I object with the way he was wording it, not with the overall.
Yeah, okay, Bill, okay.
Yeah.
Ion's sloppy. Go. He's ranting on about science, and people have different ideas about sciences. You're citing the engineer part, and maybe they need a little principle, an abstraction that made the stuff, and then they made it. So then Ion is arguing against science, and he is lumping in engineers with the scientists. He's not being precise enough. He's against professors who are not making anything but are making up theories. So a lot of people would agree with Ion on that point.
I do, too.
But science might include the engineers, Ion. You should say you're pro-engineering and against science. But the next point is there any usefulness in the speculation and that if they had some different ideas, they might influence the engineers in making better technologies? Is that a factor? Is that what you're hoping for, even though you don't hope
for
all that stuff?
No, we just say look up the definition of it.
The definition of what?
Science.
Just trying to find out what Ion's objecting to, what's the purpose of Ion's objection. So in your terms, Bill, some principles that were speculated allow GPS to happen.
Yeah, and I always make a big separation between the theoretical pure concept of science as opposed to all the dipshit PhDs that pretend they're practicing science. What they're really practicing is economics getting funding more often than not.
And Bill, our thing is that if you got rid of all science, if all science was banned off the...
What do you mean by science, Ion? Do you mean speculators or you mean the engineers?
Isn't it
all of it. If it's science, get rid of it. If nothing was science...
Well, does that include engineering? Does that include creativity?
Yeah. Well, no. Science is not creative.
Who's creative then, Ion?
The creators.
Everybody is. See, you're making that general.
But it isn't science. It isn't science.
That's right. It's just people talking and creating. What are scientists as opposed to creators? What are they?
Knowledge as distinguished from ignorance or misunderstanding.
The priesthood.
Department of Systemized Knowledge as an object of study.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, you said a bunch of words. I don't care if that's in Wikipedia. Let's deal with the words. People who get into a position, they're paid to sit in a room and force other people to learn what they are talking about, what they're saying.
They don't create a thing. Those people don't create a thing.
Right, and that's who you're objecting. That's a very small part of the technological enterprise.
You see, there is no technological enterprise. Science is not what created the GPS. Science tried to prove that it was not. It couldn't, so therefore science adapted it. They threw watermelons off of the building. Okay, great. David Letterman, top 10. And he kept throwing them off, and he kept throwing them off until one didn't fly away. So therefore he decided that watermelons fall.
You're not listening. We need to talk back and forth here. Don't go on too long. I don't know what you're trying to point out there. But you use this word science, and to me, you're talking about a certain specialist activity where people sit around and speculate. And you're making a big deal out of those stupid professors. And they are actually creating because they're making words. But you're talking about a different kind of creation that you like. What's that?
Everything that is created without science.
Well, the people calling them scientists who are professors speculating on theories, they're creating. They're creating words. They're wording.
Okay.
You object to what they claim they're doing.
Everything so far they've created, they uncreate. So they're not even that.
Well, that's part of the profession. They argue about...
Then we don't support the profession. Good.
That particular part. But the creativity that everybody makes in inventing things... Either verbally or
science.
That's right. It's not science. What are you going to call that? Let's have a term for that.
That's creation.
Yeah, and there's a lot of creation going on right now.
There absolutely is. Despite science.
So you've picked on a minority, as you made a big deal about bashing a bunch of obscure abstract talkers and made that a big deal. That's silly. Why don't you celebrate the creators? And what we've done is made the RNA drops because you showed us how to do it. So we've created something. We don't have to listen to the talkers. Maybe Carolyn does, but we don't have to listen to the speculators about what we've done.
She didn't even do much of that. It's fine. We're just trying to say... Everybody makes this science as a god, and science doesn't do anything but confuse and undo.
Yeah, the speculators do.
Get rid of all of it, and you'll be fine. Everything you get shed of and do fine with, then you're great.
Is somebody in power hoiking up and making a big deal out of the priests and the science speculators, the professors, that whole instructive part of society you say get rid of, but is there somebody making sure they dominate and people have to listen to them? And that's the imbalance. That's what you're saying, right? You're against the priests and the speculator talkers.
Mm-hmm.
Right, Ian? That's what you're objecting to. And somebody propped them up.
To me, that sounds just exactly like my statement that there's a hell of a difference between the hypothetical pure science and scientists. In my example, Isaac Newton, supposedly, I don't think it really happened, got hit on the head with an apple and formulated the theory of gravity and developed calculus to describe it. And engineers over the years took that and figured out how to calculate the ballistics of cannonballs, and eventually that led to airplanes and led to all kinds of shit. So that is where I think science does create.
No, they didn't. They just shot the balls and noted it. And they said, when you add this much saltpeter to this much and pack it and shoot it, this is what falls. That's nothing other than the craps table. That's like saying that the person
scientist. You're going to get muted too. So you're saying that what it is the talkers and sitting on the sidelines interpreting what the shot did. And you're making a big deal out of this minority of talkers. But it seems the whole educational system and the people who are monologue are the things you're objecting to. You say get rid of education in terms of listening to some authority. You're not against science. You're against authority speakers.
No, it's science. We say science hasn't done a thing.
Yeah, but you're not including Tesla or anybody, the inventors who've made everything all along the last couple
of
years.
Tesla didn't make a thing. What'd he make?
Sorry I brought him up.
Okay.
He made something, and it got bought off.
by Morgan.
Well,
but the thing is, many people have made objects and we're using them. We got TV sets and that. We got computers. You're calling them science, but that's not what you mean by science. They are not scientists. They're creators.
Okay. If they're creators and they're creating, create. Wonderful. We support it all over. And then science comes along and tries to disprove the creation.
Where does science come along? Where science comes along because there's a book and people write theories and the bankers or somebody says, yeah, we should make a big deal out of this guy. He's a good talker and the kids can go and sit in his
seat. Then we have a science. Then we have a type of science, a field of science where we sit to find out if science, if that which is created is science. Or not.
Yeah,
now
you're objecting to education is what you're objecting to, what is called education, and you're objecting to the priests in religion. You're objecting to authority figures of information, and you're calling that science. I think you use a different word. They're creators, but you're against authoritative talkers that other people have to listen to get economic status.
But they don't. See, that's the thing.
They don't what?
They don't have
they don't
to
provide
them.
It. That's right.
Well, we know they don't provide anything. Well, that's just creation, but it's society has ruled that people must listen to these talkers.
No, they don't.
Oh, you think that people... All right, you're saying people are stupid and want to hear a talker. That's what you're saying.
Well, if they are, great, but there's a lot of people to listen to besides
yeah.
the scientists.
Yeah.
Because the rudiments of how... They have created science. Someone created science. Now, there's a creation for you. They created science, which says, let's go dig it up, and if we can prove that it is not, then it is not.
Yeah, but that's not creating something and making a useful
That's all science does. That's all science does.
No. Certain talkers have done that. And so the reason is, why did society listen to them? It's the novelty of the printing press.
The lawyers just listen to the scientists to see who to do their next class action lawsuit with.
Right, that's right.
Because they know as sure as they make a drug, if science makes a drug, if science makes a drug, they know this is where their next payday is.
Okay, now you fucking don't leave, Ion. You take a little muting, and then let's calm down. Okay, Ion? This is risky, people. He might have a tantrum and leave because they fucking muted him. But the thing is, Ion... you're not listening to, I actually muted the wrong fucking thing. So let me see, is Ion still here? What happened there? I didn't mute Ion. Where is Ion? Fucking Ion fucked it up. Are you still there, Ion? I don't see Ion's number.
I think he split, Bob.
Yeah.
You know how many pissed off emails I'm going to get from... helping you piss off Ion and chase him
off
tonight?
The fucking spoiled kid. The thing is that I went, the action of muting him drove me, and I didn't even fucking mute him. I muted the wrong fucking number. Fucking stupid. You little coward, Ion.